minutes ago. I'm looking real good in my passport photo.
Amateur Traveler, episode 794. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about Czech bakeries in an Oktoberfest, Admiral Nimitz and Woolly Mammoths, caverns, and Dr. Pepper, as we go to the Texas Hill Country. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Let's talk about the Texas Hill Country. I'd like to welcome back to the show Michael DeRosiers from the Attempt Adventure podcast, who has come to talk to us about the Texas Hill Country. Michael, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you so much. I'm really glad to be back. I'm currently back in Thailand. I was on the show a while ago talking about some places in Thailand. Right. So I live here, but I'm from Texas, so I'm really excited to be talking a little bit about my other home, my first home.
Well, and we'll talk about it a little more at the end, but Attempt Adventure Podcast is a new podcast since the last time we talked, instead of ear goggles, which is what we introduced last time. But we'll talk more about that at the end.
That's right. We're going into our second season. That's right. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Excellent.
Great.
Well, you already mentioned you were from Texas. Are you from the Texas Hill Country? Is that your connection to what we're going to be talking about?
So I grew up in Dallas. I grew up in the Dallas area, but I've done a lot of traveling. The Hill Country is my favorite part of Texas. So I've done a lot of road trips, a lot of traveling in that area. I went to university at Baylor University in Waco, which is just sort of at the tip of the Hill Country. So during my college years, I spent a lot of time in that area. I got to know it really well. I didn't grow up in the Hill Country, but I do know it fairly well. And it's one of my favorite parts of the state to visit.
Well, and let's put it on a map. You mentioned that it's near Waco. Yeah. It's also near San Antonio and Austin.
That's right. So geographically, it's sort of the area between Austin and San Antonio.
Okay.
But the cultural Hill Country extends a little bit beyond it. So officially, the Hill Country is, I think it's called the Edwards Escarpment. It's that area between those two cities. And I know that you've done an episode about Austin, episode 471, and episode about San Antonio, episode 310. So I'm not going to talk about the two cities today because people can find that information. But we're going to talk about the area just sort of around that. So Waco is sort of culturally Hill Country. The town of West, which is a really cool Czech immigrant settlement just north of Waco, is sort of the edge, I would say, of the cultural Hill Country.
Okay.
And it's just sort of that area. Culturally, it's not as well-defined, but I really do think it goes beyond that geographical border.
And why should someone go to the Texas Hill Country?
When people think about Texas, I think they imagine the cowboys, they imagine the desert, West Texas, maybe Austin, maybe Dallas. But Hill Country is really unique. It's got a very unique culture. It has a lot of German and Czech immigrants, and so there's a lot of really good European food, a lot of really cool little European towns, nice vineyards, great outdoor activities, really cool state parks. It's just, if you enjoy being outdoors and seeing the offbeat side of Texas, it's a great place to visit. Austin has that slogan, keep Austin weird. And the Hill Country is just a little weird in general. And I think it makes it a lot of fun to explore. Like, all these little towns have these quirky attractions to see. It's just weird. And I think that's part of the fun of visiting that area. It's just weird. And it's not what you expect when you go to Texas.
Excellent. Well, what kind of itinerary are you going to recommend for us?
Right. Well, I think the best way to get around, obviously, is by driving. Unfortunately, there's really not any good public transportation to speak of really in Texas, but especially not in this part of Texas. The best way to get around is to rent a car and drive. I would recommend hitting up mostly the areas along the I-35 corridor as you're driving down, starting in that town of West, which is just north of Waco. There's not a ton to do in West, but they are famous for their kolaches, which are sort of Czech pastries that you can get there. When you're driving up and down I-35, there are two competing bakeries, one on each side of the highway. As you are driving south, I would recommend stopping at Slovacek's, which is really great. They have really good sausage-based pastries. And when you're going north, stop at the famous Czech Stop, which has really good fruit pastries. You can get both at either, but that's what I recommend.
And when you say Czech Stop, I assume we're spelling that with a C and a Z?
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So I would definitely start there. And if you go to the town of West on Labor Day weekend, they have a festival called Westfest, which is a Czech cultural festival. And it's a lot of fun. You can get your beer and walk around with a big mug of beer and watch some traditional Czech dancing and play some carnival games. And they have a neat sort of farmer's market set up. It's quite a lot of fun. I used to go there a lot during college. Again, that's Labor Day weekend.
And when you say a Czech beer, so I'm figuring something like a Pilsner is what I'm going to get there?
Yes, definitely. Okay. They give you a big old mug, and you can get it refilled as you walk around. Quite a lot of fun. So that's, of course, that's not all year round, but that's mm-hmm. definitely something worth visiting if you happen to be in the area at the right time. That was Labor Day weekend. And then after that, you're right outside of Waco. And Waco, I think, is kind of overlooked as a Texas city. I know that it's probably most famous for its negative history back in the 90s.
Sadly.
Unfortunately. Yeah. But there's a lot to see in Waco as well. There's a really beautiful river area. There's a great park. Lake Waco is very nice if you like doing some outdoors activities. But because Baylor University is there, they have some cool museums as well. And one of the country's newest national monuments is out in Waco. It's the Waco Mammoth Site, where they're excavating the remains of some Colombian mammoths, which is super cool and worth visiting if you're into history and paleontology and just want to see something a little bit different. You can actually go to the dig site with the rangers and they'll give you a tour.
Hmm.
I think it's like $5. It's very cheap. And it's something that you don't get to see every day, actual excavation. I think it's quite interesting. So Waco itself has some interesting stuff worth visiting, even if you're just sort of passing through it to get to the hill country.
Mm-hmm. I see we can go to the Dr. Pepper Museum while we're in Waco.
Yes, you definitely can. Dr. Pepper is or was developed in Waco. And the Dr. Pepper Museum, it's, again, kind of weird, kind of quirky, but it's a lot of fun. You can see the old sort of apothecary, because I guess originally it was a medicine, like a lot of those old colas.
Right.
Where you could see there's an actual animatronic Dr. Pepper that you can see. And he'll give you a little presentation about it, which is kind of fun. And they have a soda fountain. So at the end, you can go get a Dr. Pepper float after you've done your tour.
Funny.
Yeah. So I do think Waco's quite overlooked, so I would definitely recommend just spending some time there. But because it's a college town, they do have lots of good cafes, they have some really good restaurants, and it's worth spending some time in there. But I would recommend, after you see some of those main sites, get out of Waco, and then you're going to be driving down I-35.
Mm-hmm.
And Interstate 35, the first stop you'll get to is Austin. But after Austin, you're really in Hill Country proper. And so between Austin and San Antonio, you have this sort of area where you have all these cool little towns. Many of them were settled by European immigrants, which is sort of not what people think of when they think of Texas. But one of my favorite towns in that area is Fredericksburg, mm-hmm. which was a German town. It has a really fascinating history. It was settled by German immigrants named after King Frederick of Prussia.
Okay.
And they have a really fascinating pro-Union history during the Civil War. Hmm. So they were sort of a bastion of Union sympathizers, I would say, during the Civil War. And that's quite an interesting history. Fredericksburg was founded by this company of German immigrants who made a treaty with the local Native American tribe that was in the area to share the land, and are very proud that they call it the treaty that wasn't broken. They're very proud that they actually kept their word and honored the treaty. And there's some statues memorializing that in Fredericksburg, too. So it has really an interesting history. There's a great historical museum, the German Pioneer Museum. But beyond that, beyond going out and getting some German food at the old German bakery and cafe, beyond that, Fredericksburg is also the home of Admiral Nimitz,
okay.
the commander of the Pacific Fleet in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now the home. His childhood home has been turned into the National Museum of the War in the Pacific.
Oh, interesting.
It is a brilliant museum. You can spend half a day easily there. It's a Smithsonian affiliate, and it is an incredibly well-put-together, well-designed museum.
Hmm.
And they have old airplanes and boats and all sorts of things, but they also have lots of video footage, recordings, everything from the lead-up into the war through the very end. It's brilliant. It's really, really well done.
If you haven't seen the recent movie Midway, which actually did a pretty good job with the history. They did a good job of being historically accurate from what I can see. But they sort of start with the bombing of Pearl Harbor, and then Nimitz gets sent out there that basically said, don't come home till you've won. So
right.
He takes over right. after the disaster that was Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, the museum is great. And there's a Japanese peace garden in a courtyard at the museum that was donated by the government of Japan, just to sort of symbolize the rebuilding of a friendship between the two countries. And it's really beautiful, very nice. So if you're at the museum, definitely do check that out. It's sort of outside of the museum, so you could miss it, but I would recommend do check it out. It's really good. So that's in Fredericksburg. And then just outside of Fredericksburg is the LBJ Ranch. Mm-hmm. And there are two parts. I believe there's a state park and then also a national monument. So it's sort of split into two, or national historical site. Both worth visiting. They're quite similar. But it's really cool to go. And if you want to learn about the history of President Johnson, one of the very famous presidents from Texas, yeah, you can go there as well. And it's cool. So Fredericksburg has a lot of neat little things. Just outside of it is the town of Luckenbach, which is famous for being the smallest town in Texas. I believe the official population is 3, but they also they have like a music hall, and they do a lot of musical venues and performances there. So again, just kind of weird little quirky things like that. But Fredericksburg is a lot of fun. They have good German food, nice coffee, good vineyards if you're into that sort of thing.
Well, the LBJ Ranch was quite enjoyable. I did it as a day trip Austin.
Okay, yeah, cool, yeah.
There's an old Air Force One on the property, not the kind of big one that we picture these days.
Right.
Before that, but it's a ranch. Basically, LBJ used to enjoy coming back to the ranch even after he was president and while he was president. So it's a relatively modest place, I would say, but enjoyably well-presented, I thought.
Yeah, so have you gotten to spend some time in Fredericksburg, like the town?
No, I did that as a day trip when I was at a travel conference in Austin.
Okay, well, cool. Well, if next time you're down there, you've got to check it out. I think you'd enjoy it, and definitely do check out that museum. Very, very enjoyable. Cool. Well, also just outside of Fredericksburg is Enchanted Rock, which is a state natural area. It's not technically a mountain. I think it's actually just a really big rock, but you can go hiking.
It looks like a hill, though, is really what you're saying.
It does look like a hill. Okay. Yes, it does look like a hill. Yeah, but you can go camping. It's got some campsites out there. It's not a state park. It's the state version of like a national monument. So it's like the second tier down in the hierarchy of state managed land, or whatever you call it. I recommend camping.
And is it actually magical?
Well, that's the thing. they have these legends. It has all these legends about it. If I remember correctly, I think the reason it was called Enchanted Rock was because at night, as the temperature would change, the rock would sort of shift and it would make this sort of creepy sound that maybe sounded like singing or something. I think another name for it is the singing rock.
Okay.
There are some weird little like pools on the rocks, very, very small, that they say look like footprints, like a ghost had walked around at the top. I think there is some legend of some Spanish priest who had gotten lost and wandered around up at the top and appeared magically like several days later. There are lots of legends about it, but it's quite a beautiful place. And it's a very nice place to go at night as well. If you're camping, they have an incredible, clear, dark sky. You can see just millions of stars. One of the best places I've ever seen for seeing stars. You can see the Milky Way kind of going across the sky, which is kind of amazing because it's really not that far from Austin. But there's not much light pollution out there. If you want to go just hiking, you do have to get a hiking permit. And there is sometimes a waiting list to get on it. But if you go camping, it comes with a hiking permit. So if you do decide to camp out there, you get to climb for free as well. And it's, you know, it's not a very hard hike. It probably takes an hour to go up and down. When I was there, we walked up to the top and we watched the sunset from the top, and then we went back down. But it's really beautiful. You get some incredible views out across the hill country. You can see all the other hills and all the other rocks, and I hesitate to call them mountains, but all the other big granite rocks.
It is named the hill country, so I think it'd be okay to call them hills, don't you think?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, it's great. The Enchanted Rock is very, very cool, and it's a lot of fun. And it's not a strenuous hike. It's not like a dangerous hike. It's never very steep. Mm-hmm. There were kids. There were elderly people going up and down, so it's great for families as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So that is definitely one of the main things that I would recommend. Also, if you're into the nature, is Longhorn Cavern State Park, which is also really close to Fredericksburg. It's a cave, Longhorn Cavern. It's a state park, but there's no camping. Everything at the park is underground. So it's really close to Inks Lake State Park. So if you do want to go camping, you can just drive down maybe 5 miles to Inks Lake.
Okay.
But Longhorn Cavern itself is super cool. It's one of my favorite caves in Texas. and it has a fascinating history as well. I believe in the 1920s and 30s, there was like a speakeasy hidden down in the cave.
Okay.
And even nowadays, I think part of that stage area is still there. When I was there, the park ranger was saying that you can get married if you want, that they perform weddings down in the cave, which could be kind of fun.
Hmm.
But it's very cool. So if you are into caves, it's, again, it's not a strenuous hike, but it's really cool. It was developed by the Corps of Engineers back in the, during the Great Depression era. And so nowadays it has a really nicely made path that goes down through it. And part of the tour is sort of explaining the history of the Corps of Engineers as well. So you can get a bit of a historical context for that era when you're down there too.
Okay. And I don't know if it's a new cave or what the geology is, because I'm not seeing stalactites and stalagmites. So it looks closer in appearance to Mammoth Cave, for instance.
I think it is a bit newer. I'm not sure. I know that the Corps of Engineers had to change parts of it to make it accessible. Mm-hmm. I think that they had to dig out quite a lot of it. So I don't know how much of that is natural and how much of that was dug out like to create an entrance tunnel. But there aren't a lot of stalagmites and stalactites in there. There are some interesting formations, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of looks like it was formed by flowing water.
It was, yeah, but that's true.
But water, like an underground river sort of look to it.
That's right. Yeah, definitely, definitely. And just all sorts of cool stories. At one point, some settler had been kidnapped by some local Native American tribe, and the Texas Rangers had to go in and perform this heroic rescue mission, and you can go to the cave where that happened. So if you're really into history, it does have a very excellent tour, and you have to go with the tour. You can't just go and explore on your own. You do have to buy a ticket and go with a guide. It's maybe $12, $13, something like that. But the guides are excellent, very knowledgeable. They do make it a lot of fun, and there's a lot of stories and legends and history about the, not only about the cave, but about the Corps of Engineers and the projects that they built in that area too, which is fun.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. Well, moving on from there, going a little bit further, is one of my absolute favorite cities in Texas, which is San Marcos. And San Marcos is really a quintessential Texas Hill Country town. It's also a college town. It's home to Texas State University. So it does have a lot of cool, quirky cafes and restaurants and things like that. One of the restaurants I would recommend is North Street Curry, which is an Indian-Mexican fusion restaurant, which is super good. They have this amazing curry queso, which I would recommend. If you're in town, don't miss it.
Okay.
It's sort of a combo that you don't think of, but it goes together really well.
Clearly a combination that needed to happen.
That's right. That's right. Well, San Marcos is built around the Edwards Aquifer and the San Marcos River, which is extremely clean. I think that the statistic they told us is that it's 7 times cleaner than the EPA standard of drinking water. So it's an incredibly clean river that flows out of there. And I think the university is pretty famous for its ecology department. And so they take a lot of pride in keeping that river very clean. And so there's a lot of activities that are based in and along the San Marcos River.
Okay.
Specifically, the best thing to do is to go tubing. And tubing is something that's done a lot in that Texas Hill Country area. A lot of people recommend going down the Guadalupe River. Personally, I think that the San Marcos River is the best place to go tubing.
And when we say tubing, just for those who may be listening from someplace else that doesn't do this, it traditionally would have started with old truck tire inner tubes. Nowadays, you probably get something that's more purpose-made for the task, but just drifting down the lazy river. So we're not talking whitewater rafting as enjoying the day.
Very calm, very slow, You kind of sit there in the sun. They also do sell these coolers that float as well. So if you can load them up with ice and put some beers in there and just float down the river very slowly. So at the San Marcos River, the area that you float down, it takes about an hour. You rent the tubes at the Lions Club Tube Rental, and you float down to the end. But what's nice about it is that when you rent the tube, they give you a little paper bracelet, which means that when you get to the end, there's a truck waiting for you, and you just show them your little paper bracelet, and they take you back up to the front, and you can just keep going as many times as you like, 2 or 3 or 4 times. You can go all day. So once you've rented the tube, you have it for the day, and you can just spend the whole day out there. And since it is a college town, I think you can imagine that there's a lot of university students who spend their entire weekends just floating down the river. But it's a lot of fun, and it's very, very clean, very clear. It's not very deep. I mean, you can pretty much stand, if you want to, for the entire river.
Well, and I can picture it would be quite enjoyable in a hot Texas summer.
Yes. Absolutely.
I've been in Austin on days that are over 100 degrees, and I would have preferred, I think, tubing down a river.
Yes.
But that actually begs the question of when should I go instead if I'm not there for a conference, which silly conference people held in summer.
Right. Honestly, I do think that because a lot of the best things to do are outdoors activities, I really do think that maybe early summer, May or June is the best to go because it's warm and you can still be outdoors, but it's not miserably hot yet. You'll be lucky if it's 85 to 90, something like that. Definitely don't go in like August.
You say miserably hot. This area, unlike, say, Houston, isn't as humid.
Correct. Right. So it's not, but it's not as bad. Yeah, it's not as bad.
Yeah, but it does get warm.
It does. It does. On the other hand, a few years ago, though, I did go down to San Marcos to go tubing, and I think I probably went a bit too early. I was there maybe at the very beginning of June, and it was raining, and it was not very fun. So it definitely is more fun if it's a bit hotter, a bit warmer outside.
Sure.
That's definitely something to keep in mind, yeah. But the San Marcos River, like I said, it's very clean. They have two species that are only found in the river. One of them is this tiny little blind salamander, and It's pretty unlikely to see one, but they're there. And the other is Texas wild rice, which, again, only grows in the San Marcos River, which is pretty cool. But if you do want to see those salamanders, the university operates a ecology center at the Edwards Aquifer, and I think it's called the Meadows Center. And they have a very small aquarium there, and you can go and see those little blind salamanders, and they're very cute. They're very, very cute. And while you're at the Meadows Center, you can also take a glass bottom boat tour over the aquifer. You can see where the water is actually bubbling out of the ground, which is really interesting because it's not spring fed. It's actually fed by the aquifer itself, which is something that you don't get to see all that often either. So it's very cool. Very cool to see it.
Okay. Where to next?
So the next place that you're going to be going to is passing through San Antonio. And as I said, you've already had an episode dedicated to San Antonio. But after you've kind of passed through San Antonio, one of the places at the edge of town that I recommend is the San Antonio Missions National Monument.
Okay.
So there are five historical Spanish missions in San Antonio. One of them is the Alamo, which everybody knows about, but there are four others. And the other four that are not the Alamo make up the San Antonio Missions National Monument.
Okay.
And they're varying sizes. I think one of them is fairly large. The other ones are kind of small. But there's a trail that goes around it. You can bike it. You can walk it if you really want to. I think most people probably just drive it. One of the missions is still an active Catholic church, and they do something called a mariachi mass, which I've never attended, but it sounds like it would be a lot of fun. I don't quite know what that means, but it sounds like it would be a blast. A mariachi mass, I don't know. It sounds fun. So if you are there on Sunday morning, you could probably check that out. I like I said, I can't speak to that because I've not actually been there at the right time, but just the description sounds like it would be an interesting experience for sure.
Yeah, it works for me.
Yeah, right. And then going down, you're going to get down to Guadalupe River State Park, which I've been camping a lot. I really love camping. I think that it's one of the greatest ways to experience the Texas outdoors. But Guadalupe River State Park is the park with the greatest facilities I've ever seen. They have the nicest campsites, the cleanest bathrooms. So if you're not really sure whether you're going to like camping or not, it's a great place. Very nice showers. I mean, the bathrooms were air conditioned, which is very rare at a state park.
Sure.
Guadalupe River State Park, if you're not sure that you like camping or not, it's a really nice place to try it out and see if it's a good fit for you. But you can also go tubing there. I have not been tubing there because I do think that the San Marcos River is the best place for tubing. But you can go tubing out at the state park as well. You can go down to the river there, and they do have some nice hiking trails. It's a place where if you're into bird watching, they have some unique bird species out there that you can see if you're lucky. And it's just a very nice clean, very well-organized state park. So I would definitely recommend spending some time in that area as well. So another thing that the Texas Hill Country is renowned for are its swimming holes. And there are some really great swimming holes that are kind of hidden gems. I think that if you live in that area or spend a lot of time in that area, you might know about them. But if you're just a traveler going through, you might not. One of them is Hamilton Pool, and the other one is Canyon Lake.
Okay.
And Hamilton Pool is a bit better known. Canyon Lake is less known. They're both very nice for swimming. Very clean. You can feel comfortable about about swimming in them. But Hamilton Pool especially is just beautiful. It's kind of half covered by sort of a cliff that goes over it, and the pool is below.
You said Hamilton Pool, and I pictured a swimming pool, but this is more like I should have pictured a cenote.
Yeah, yeah, it is a natural pool, not a swimming pool. You're right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it kind of looks a bit otherworldly, kind of like a fairy tale sort of hidden pool. And yeah, again, very popular to go swimming. Hamilton Pool can get a bit crowded, though, because it is so popular. Canyon Lake is another great swimming hole, which is not nearly as well known, even within Texas. Canyon Lake is beautiful as well. So if you want to check it out, I might even recommend Canyon Lake instead.
Okay.
But beyond that, I would recommend just visiting all of these cool little towns, because all of these small towns, like New Braunfels, another German town in this area, it's famous mostly because of Schlitterbahn, which is a water park out there.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have a lot of that German culture and German food that you can get in the area. Honestly, if you're into food, the Hill Country is great. You can get a great mix of Tex-Mex, barbecue, German schnitzel, whatever you want to get. It's a great area, a great region, if you want to go touring around looking for different types of food. It's a very diverse area, which is really cool if you're into the culinary experience out in the Hill Country.
Well, and we can't not mention Schlitterbahn, but not say what it is. But you're talking about a water park.
Yes. Yes.
A large water park.
Yes.
So if you are going in the heat of the Texas summer, this might be your your highlight for your particular vacation. And there's another one in Galveston as well.
Yes. 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 You notice a lot of the attractions are water-based, and there's definitely a reason for that. You know, as you say, it gets hot, and people want to cool down. There's a reason that a lot of this area is built around these ways to keep cool, for sure.
Right. You mentioned the different towns and their history and their culture and such. Are there particular days or festivals that we should be aware of?
That's a very good question. So Westfest is the one that I know of off the top of my head.
And Westfest is the one that you mentioned that's in Fredericksburg.
Westfest is in the town of...
Oh, no, sorry, in West Texas.
In the town of West, yeah, which is not in Western Texas, but it's in Central Texas. It's just confusingly named.
Which is not in West Texas, yeah. It's very confusing. Yes.
So, yeah, Fredericksburg has an Oktoberfest every year, which is held in late September, early October.
Okay.
Bavarian-style Oktoberfest.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, they also have a Cajun culinary festival on Memorial Day weekend in the town's market square, which is kind of unexpected. But it looks like they have a bit of a crawfish boil out there.
All right, then. We were close to Cajun country, but I didn't think we were that close.
No, we don't quite have that Cajun culture in the Hill Country. So I'm not quite sure how that developed in Fredericksburg, but you won't hear me complaining about a crawfish boil, that's for sure.
Well, and you can get to Cajun country there from just driving an hour and a half or something like that to the
east. Easily.
You were pretty close, so I don't know how far Cajun country comes over.
Yeah, East Texas, definitely you can find a lot of that, especially as you get sort of southeast along the coast.
Mm-hmm. Anything else we want to cover in terms of itinerary?
Those are the main points that I would like to hit. Obviously, do spend some time in Austin. Do spend some time in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. Either one of those cities, you could probably spend 3 or 4 days just in the town itself. I didn't want to talk too much about those since you do already have episodes about them. But definitely do spend some time in San Antonio. Visit the sites of the Texas Revolution. Definitely do spend some time in Austin, tour the Capitol, go get some Austin barbecue, see the music scene, the craft beer, the local art.
Right.
Both of those could fill an itinerary as well.
Excellent. As we go to start to wrap this up, you're standing in the prettiest spot in the Texas Hill Country.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
I think it's definitely the top of Enchanted Rock, just looking out across the landscape, seeing the other hills stretching out in front of you. And if you're lucky enough to be there at nighttime, if you decide to go camping and you get a nighttime climbing permit, even going to the top of the Enchanted Rock at night, or even just being from the campsite and looking up, seeing the stars, the fairly unobstructed natural stars, which is, for me, something I don't get to see very often. I live in a big city, and I'm lucky to see two or three stars at night, so being able to see just the millions of stars in the sky is really spectacular. But I think that Enchanted Rock is one of the most beautiful places out in the hill country.
Okay. And we didn't say, from where you started us, this whole itinerary could easily be fly into Dallas, fly out of San Antonio, for instance.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Or fly out of Houston, potentially, someplace like that.
That's right, yeah.
One thing that makes you laugh and say, only in Texas.
Only in Texas. Honestly, it's just the weird little towns. The weird towns that are full of things that you just don't expect to see. San Marcos, for instance, they have a series of mermaid statues, each one painted by a different local artist. And when you go and visit their tourism board, you can get a little map that you can follow for something called the Mermaid March. I think that there are 9 of them. And you just travel around looking for mermaids. And you're in the middle of Texas, nowhere near the ocean. But San Marcos, in the past, used to have a mermaid show out in the Edwards Aquifer, where people would dress up like mermaids and go swimming. And so it's still kind of part of that weird, offbeat culture. And so just like things like that, just like kind of the odd quirkiness. It's not just Austin that's weird, right? It may be their catchphrase, but that whole area is just really odd. And that's just fun.
Well, the whole thing with many different of a certain type of things painted by artists, I think was started with Chicago with the Bulls there.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But I know in San Jose, California, it's the Sharks and you get mermaids here.
Yeah.
The fact that it's mermaids, that it was a bigger surprise.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly it. Because you would kind of expect it if you were on the coast somewhere. If you were in Galveston or even Houston, it makes more sense.
Right.
But the fact that you're just in this landlocked town surrounded by hills and they're iconic symbol is a mermaid. It's odd, right? It's weird and it's fun.
Well, and you can go to the Mermaid Festival in San Marcos. You didn't tell me this.
Ah, okay. Let's talk about that. I've never been to the Mermaid Festival. I've heard of it. I've never been, so I don't quite know what it's like. But if you are into mermaids, just San Marcos in general, you'll see them everywhere. You'll see mermaid murals, mermaid art, the mermaid statues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely a quirky little town.
Very good. And if you had to summarize the Texas Hill Country in just 3 words, Michael, what 3 words would you use?
First of all, I would say weird. I think that's a good one. Weird.
Okay.
Beautiful. Beautiful. The nature is incredible.
Okay.
And delicious, because the food is great, especially if you're a barbecue fan.
Oh, so we didn't talk a lot about food except for fusion, curry Mexican food.
Yeah.
And you mentioned a couple other restaurants. There was cattle country in here. Mm-hmm. LBJ had a ranch and such. So
that's right,
barbecue
yeah.
is still the food of choice.
Yes. Yes. And if you're looking for barbecue, don't go to any of the big name places. Just find the smallest, grubbiest little hole in the wall barbecue place. Maybe it's attached to like a gas station, something like that. That's where you're going to find the best barbecue. Something that doesn't look like it should be delicious is always going to be the best when it comes to barbecue in that region.
Good fun.
Yeah.
Our guest again has been Michael DeRochers. And again, we said from the, I'm now sitting in the dark since it's gotten dark. Since
that's okay.
The Attempt Adventure Podcast.
Yeah.
And what is the Attempt Adventure Podcast about, Michael?
Yeah, so the Attempt Adventure Podcast is a show that I make with a good friend of mine who lives in Boulder, Colorado. And again, I live in Bangkok, so we live in very different parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a podcast all about travel and adventure. Specifically, it's kind of about trying to find everyday adventure. So we do talk to people that you could consider to be like legitimate adventurers and explorers, but we also talk to everyday people who go traveling and have had weird and interesting experiences. And we also just kind of share our own experiences with our adventures. So it's just a podcast about trying to add more adventure into your daily life in whatever way that means.
Excellent. And do you have any information there about the Texas Hill Country, or did you share that just with us?
We have done an episode about actually a two-part episode about traveling in Texas in general. It's not specifically focused on the Hill Country, but you can also hear us talk about West Texas, North Texas, where we're both from. That's our hometown up in the Dallas area, as well as the areas along the coast. So we've done a two-parter about Texas sort of in general, travel in Texas.
Excellent. We'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Awesome stuff.
Michael, thank you so much for coming on Amateur Traveler.
Yes, sir.
For sharing your love for Texas.
Well, Chris, it is my pleasure. Thank you for having me back. It was a blast as always. It's always good to talk to you, sir.
A special thanks to patrons of the Amateur Traveler who help support the show financially. You can also become a patron of the show by going to patreon.com/amateurtraveler for as little as $5 a month. You'll get a free monthly Zoom call with me, which is actually a lot of fun. We are having a good time with that, those who make it for that. And then you'll also get an ad-free version of the show. I heard from Stuart on the episode we did just last week on the coast of Morocco, who said, "Hello, I'm a fan of the podcast, but this is a special note of appreciation for the latest episode. I was literally in El Jadida when it dropped and headed down the Moroccan coast to Essaouira. I wish I had known about the Casablanca bakery recommendations, but there is always something left behind for future visits. Thanks again, and I look forward to more serendipity in the future. Regards, Stuart." And Stuart, thanks so much for writing. It's always funny when something like that happens, and I wish we had gotten it out a week earlier for you, but I didn't know. Had some reviews of the show. I had 2 5-star reviews, so one from Dive Book Reader, who said, "Great podcast, never miss an episode, travel inspiration in every episode." Thanks so much. One from Kinsey81, who said, "Awesome podcast. I just discovered this podcast about 5 days ago and can't stop listening to it. So many locations to hear about. We're already planning a family road trip to the Blue Ridge Parkway based off an episode." Excellent. I always love to hear that. And then I did get a 4-star review, and this one hurts just a little bit. "Good content, but host could be better. The guests in the show are always really great and are always so knowledgeable about their respective destinations. It's always fun learning about a place I don't know much about, and the destinations are really diverse. The host could be better, though. He's always saying, 'I'm looking at this picture,' or 'I just looked up this information.' I'm sure his intentions are good, supplementing, clarifying what the guest just said, but it makes him come off as uninterested and really disrupts the flow of the conversation. If I want to know more about something that was talked about in an episode, I can just look it up after I'm done with the episode." Well, I'm sorry to hear that. And no, I don't plan to change. In my defense, I actually listen to podcasts myself at double speed. In the second startup company I worked at, we had a rule that during company meetings, everyone had to have their laptop closed except for the chief scientist and I, who the president learned we could pay attention to the meeting and get work done at the same time. So I am a multitasker. And honestly, I'm making the show notes as we go, and I just don't have time to do it otherwise with 2 podcasts and 2 active blogs and a full-time job. So I apologize if I come off as uninterested. I've never gotten that feedback, though, from a guest. With that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening.